So, you and your grandma and your aunt all went to Israel together just before she died?
Yes, we went in January 59, and she died in April.
Happy to have done the journey to the Promised Land and all that.
Very,
Yeah.
very happy.
Did she feel it was, I'm just putting words into her mouth now, the culmination of what she'd been living for and all that, her religiousness? Did that drive her to go there, or was it partly escaping? Was it like a pull thing or a push thing? Was it getting out of Hungary or getting to Israel?
For my aunt, it was getting out of Hungary. For
Yeah.
my granny, it was getting to the Promised Land.
Yeah.
For me, I didn't want to go. But I didn't have a word. I didn't have a say in the matter.
Yeah.
I did try to have a say in the matter. I wanted to finish school, which would have been another year and a half. And I actually took to my. I loved school.
Yeah.
I always loved school. And she had a word with my aunt and my granny, but they said no. So I had to go. So that was my education interrupted, and I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And of course, I got to Israel, and if I wanted to eat, I had to work. So that was the end of my education until, as an adult, I tried to do something about it.
So going back to Israel, what work did you do when you had to work straight away and couldn't go on to schooling? You're living in kibbutz, right?
Not then.
Right.
We lived not far from Tel Aviv in a suburb. Well, it had a different name to it, but it's
Yeah.
really like a suburb of Tel Aviv. And I got a job in a cosmetic laboratory as a 16-year-old. And I worked there for quite a while, and then I learned about philately and numismatics, and I worked with stamps and coins
Yeah.
for donkey's years and became quite an expert, a recognized expert in the field
Yeah.
actually. But I hated living in the city. And in my 20s, I went to live in a kibbutz.
You were already an expert in your 20s, a recognized expert.
In a particular field,
Yeah.
just philately and
Yeah.
numismatics, stamps and coins,
Yeah.
that's all. I always like to learn things
Yeah.
about. I always like to learn things. Even today, I still do.
So did they do all PALMS and programs for new immigrants in that at that time?
Yes, for a little while I
Yeah.
was in one, and I learned Hebrew very
Yeah.
quickly
Yeah.
because it was
And you
important.
already could read it.
I already could read it, yes, slowly,
Yeah.
but it was an advantage,
Yeah.
yes. My aunt could read it as well, but she never actually learned to speak the language. She tried hard. She did really try her very best. Not everybody is good at learning languages.
Yeah.
My aunt wasn't. I was very lucky. I happened to be quite good at learning languages, so I did. And I was also young. She was in her 40s. I was a 16-year-old. It's a
Yeah.
big difference.
Yeah.
My granny, of course, never did, but then she only lived there for about 3, 4 months, so.
So that was, what year was it when you went, 1958 when you went to Israel,
59.
59 when you went to Israel.
Yeah.
So with a lot of other Hungarians leaving at that point,
No,
or?
no. Very few indeed. Maybe 3 or 4 families in the year.
Yeah.
That's all.
So then you worked in the jobs that you've said, and then after a bit you wanted to leave the city and move to the kibbutz. That was with your aunt.
No,
All right.
on my own. Not that easily. It
Yeah.
was not acceptable that an unmarried girl. I was 24 when, by the time I went to the kibbutz, so I was
Yeah.
not a teenager, but it was not acceptable that an unmarried young woman should leave her family and live on her own. It was not easy, but I've done it.
Yeah.
And I loved living in the kibbutz. And I lived there for about 10 years. In a kibbutz, you do everything and anything. I like that. And I loved the kibbutz, and I still do today. But I was kind of getting towards my mid-30s, and I kind of realized that I never stood on my own two feet. I went from my aunt's home to the kibbutz, and the kibbutz is also a cocoon.
Mm.
It takes good care of you. It's quite wonderful.
Mm.
But I kind of got to the point where I had to prove to myself that I could stand on my own two feet. And it was now or never. I felt it was now or never. I was now getting towards my mid-30s. I was 34 years old, and I felt that if I didn't do it then and there, I would never do it.
Yeah.
And then I had to decide where to go and what to do. And for all kinds of reasons, climate being one of them, a major one actually, political situation at the time being another one, the Levantine life being another one.
The what?
Levantine. Mediterranean.
Right.
Nerves and shouting and everything being on high do all the time was something I found very difficult to cope with. I still do today. Well, I don't go to nowadays, but I still did many, many years later when I went to visit. While my aunt was alive,
yeah,
and I was living here in Scotland, I still went to visit her every year. And I still found that life very difficult to cope with. Nothing wrong with it. I just don't suit it. You know how life is and what behaviour is like?
Well, outside it suits and a lot lots of screaming. People.
It doesn't suit me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing can be done quietly. Everything is done by shouting and screaming. And what bothered me more that people were shouting and screaming all the time is that when I went there, I shouted and screamed myself. Yeah.
What work did you do in the kibbutz, and then what work did you do when you first came here?
In kibbutz, I mostly worked with children.
Yeah.
But I also worked in the kitchen, in the pardes, which is the... There is a special name for it, which I forget at the moment. It's the orchard only for citrus fruit.
Right.
The climate was very difficult for me.
Yeah.
When I first got to Israel, it was January, and the sky was blue and the palm trees were waving in the wind, and I thought, wow, it's beautiful. And they said to me, just wait till it gets to the summer. And then the summer came and I got the shock of my life. And people said, don't worry, you'll get used to it. Well, I never did.
Mm.
Some people can cope with hot climates and some people can't, and I can't. In the kibbutz itself, there was a factory, and the factory sent me a factory for plastic things. And at one point, they sent me to learn about export. And I did.